Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
I know you weren't calling about this, but since you're a younger sounding listener, are you connected with any of these people who are doing, you know, I know you're not in high school, you're actually in your mid-20s, I think. Do you know anything? Do you hear anything about, you know, are people participating in these walkouts? Do you have any friends still in that age range?
I'm not all that familiar with the walkouts. Okay. I know that if kids were saying, holy crap, the schools are unsafe and we need to like have armed personnel in the school or not have public schools at all for that matter, that'd be better. But you know,
no, they're not saying that
time, but yeah. So if they're like, we won't go back to school until all the assault weapons, whatever those are totally banned.
Ah! Well, that actually might be a good thing. I mean, if that actually happened, because getting people out of these government schools is a pretty good goal. So if they actually don't go back to the government schools and protest, then that's cool. But that's not what's going to happen.
People should be able to go to government school if they want to go to government school.
Yeah.
So long as they pay for it.
Well, they are.
The good thing with that logic is that anything can be an assault weapon, which means that they will never be able to totally ban assault weapons, which means that they will never be able to fulfill that goal, which means that they will never go back to school.
I'm sorry, but the government as it exists today is a Marxist fever dream. It doesn't serve anyone well. It is just it's just an anachronism. It is bad old tech.
Well, if I may interject, I would say that statism is win-lose, whereas voluntarism is win-win.
Sure.
So, unless you want to control other people, in which case you don't win in voluntarism, right?
Well, unless you get people to sign up to have you tell them what to do. I mean, there might be people who want to be told what to do. I'm pretty sure those people exist in life. Many of them are statists today.
The problem is, you know as well as I do, is if you're a socialist, and by socialist I generally mean a statist, you need the money from rich people to do what you want to do.
Sure.
The vast majority of taxes that are collected from the top 20%, and the vast majority of those are from the top 10%, and the vast majority of those are from the top 5%. Okay?
Right. Yeah,
so
yeah.
You need that. You need to be able to steal money from that top 5%. You don't call it stealing. You say it's their fair share.
A fee.
Yeah.
Tax.
Or whatever it is that you say. But you need to be able to get that 5%. But you know that you're not going to provide service to that 5% in the way that they want it. You're going to provide service to this other 95% because they're the ones that can vote you in. This 5%, they have the money to put candidates up and to get people involved in the system.
There was a anti-gun rally that actually transpired at approximately the same time yesterday as the 420 rally happened in Concord, New Hampshire, at the State House. Here, again, in New Hampshire, where every year for the last almost entire decade, there has been mass civil disobedience committed basically in the front steps of the State House with 420 celebrations where people smoke pot openly, even though it's illegal to do so in New Hampshire. We did have a small amount of decriminalization last year. And for those who want to hear a lot more about that particular event, we spent 3 hours of the show last night talking about all things 420 and cannabis legalization related, and talked about what went down at this year's 420 celebration, which frequently has involved Free Talk Live hosts. So usually hosts of the show will go to this event. Usually one or two of us gets to speak at the event, and all that happened. And some of the video is actually being posted up today. The first video is out right now, actually, from freekeen.com. It's Carla Garrick, who is a longtime friend of the show. She is still with the Free State Project as a board member, but more importantly, she's the president of the New Hampshire secession group. They don't use the word secession, but that's what they support. It's the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence, kind of like a think tank outreach organization.
I think the federal government and the patriotism that surrounds it has so much momentum that I wouldn't spend any time bothering to talk about secession. Mm-hmm. What I would point out to people is this organization is $21 trillion in debt, and it appears to double every 8 years. At least it has, under each president, doubled and within the recent past, doubled under each president. I ask you, not whether or not a person should be able to secede, or a state should be able to secede without an invasion from the federal government, because that's the only thing that could stop it. Mm-hmm. Without an invasion for the federal government. I don't care whether you think that that's moral or not, because if you want to roll tanks in on your friends and family, you're an insane, violent lunatic, yeah. And screw you and your stupid opinion. But I would ask you this, ladies and gentlemen, this organization is $21 trillion in debt and smoking towards $100 trillion. Like, it's like, yeah. it's a rocket sled on rails, baby. I mean, you talk about leaving something for your grandchildren, you're enslaving your grandchildren to the kind of spending that's going on with this organization.
For sure.
And you don't give a whit. You know what you want? You want a strong man that's going to stand up to world leaders. It costs money to stand up to world leaders. Those Tomahawk missiles are $1.5 million a piece.
Remember when David Hogg, the media darling from down there in Parkland, Florida, he was mad about the clear backpacks that the school had put in place as one of the solutions, apparently, to school shootings, because he was worried about his right to privacy.
Yeah,
in that
show
case.
Me what democracy looks like. This is what democracy looks like, David Hogg. Like, this is the difficulty, right? Like, I understand these young people want. First off, most of them are just saying we want violence to stop. We want to see these mass shootings stop. And
who doesn't want to see that stop?
Right, everybody wants that. And walking out of class isn't going to amount to anything. Don't worry. Staying in class wasn't going to amount to anything either.
Yeah.
So, I support these kids exercising some kind of, attempt to change their world for the better. I support
it's
that.
It's their first attempt for many of them.
And
at that. They're going to learn how difficult it is, as you were talking about earlier, how so frustrating the political system is when you feel like you've got momentum. And they must feel like they do, right? Like, they've got a large number of supporters. They're doing something.
They're getting funding from all over. And,
right.
They want these. They really don't have any clear set of things that they want. There's some people that are throwing out, let's ban AR-15s as though that's going to do anything. For less than $2,000, you can buy a ghost gunner.
For the machine, yeah.
For the cost of the aluminum, you can make a new AR-15 every single day that has no serial numbers,
right.
That's never been inspected by a government individual, that you could inside of a month, arm your own militia inside of a
right.
inside of a year, arm your own army with this thing, and then
it'll pay for itself in basically instantly.
Somebody wants to ban AR-15s. Come on, really? We are so far past this. It's like banning pornography.
Yeah.
At this point, you can download off the internet the ability to make guns out of plastic. Come on.
Yeah. If you make two AR-15s out of a ghost gunner, you've paid for the ghost gunner.
Just recently, now we can honestly say that PETA members are more likely to shoot up a business than an NRA member is. I mean, you can't go after the guns and solve the problem here, people. I really believe that.
You really can't.
But again, with this, I support the students trying. I support the students attempting to get something done. But understand, when you enter the public fray and propose to use democracy to forcefully disarm your neighbors, mm-hmm. you're going to get pushback, and that pushback is going to get ugly.
If you want to have an effect on things, if you want to change things, then you do have to have numbers. And this is something the students at least understand. You know, you may be right, Mark, that these protests are going to go nowhere. The politicians aren't going to give a whit about this. They'll sometimes certain politicians will make a play to the protesters. They'll come out. They'll join them at one of their events, especially if it's campaign season. And, they'll walk in the parade or whatever, and they'll act as though they care about whatever the issue at hand happens to be. And if they ever end up doing anything about it, it'll be some just watered down, not at all what the students in this particular case were intending. It'll be some sort of baby step proposal. It won't be anything that is really exciting to anybody. And eventually these students are going to get burned out, and they're going to get into college. They're going to say, you know what, screw this, or they're going to not go to college because who really needs that crap? But you know, they're going to move on with their lives. They're going to get busy. They're going
to
go to work.
They're going to be encouraged to go to college. They're not going to be encouraged to go to a vocational school where they'll learn a trade where they'll make some money. I mean, for God's sakes, kids, go be a plumber. The government has decided, for whatever reason, that they're going to basically adopt the Prussian school system.
They did that in the 1800s.
Well, yeah, and the idea was to make factory workers. So we neither have really a factory-based economy any longer, nor do we have Prussians, but we have a Prussian-based system that educates factory workers. It makes no sense at all. But the idea that you could take on a dramatically different school system within the public school system is ludicrous. Basically, public school systems are the same from Maine to California, from Hawaii to Florida.
They're all
pretty much the same, and they pretty much have the same, you know, teaching methods and curriculum and all that other stuff. And they're co-opted. They've taken what basically is the most expensive way to educate a kid and does really, frankly, not a very good job. The Huffington Post recently had an article that said more than 19%, so we'll just go ahead and call it 20%. 20% of public school graduates. Not people who went to public school for a period of time. People who got a piece of paper that says you have completed public school satisfactorily. Those people are functionally illiterate.
It's about guns. These idiots don't realize that. See, I'm 65 years old. I've owned guns all my life. I was raised as a young boy how to handle a gun. That's one of the problems. They don't do that anymore. You know, you should raise your child how to use a gun, how to take care of a gun, how to respect a gun.
I think my dad first took me down to the gun range in Florida, maybe like 8, 9, 10, somewhere in that range.
We didn't have a gun range.
What?
His dad took him down to the gun range in Florida when he was like 8 or 9 or 10 or something. I grew up in the country. We didn't have a gun range where I was. But what I thought was kind of interesting, and this is something that you never hear about, but it must be still happening, is my dad kept a gun in the closet my whole life, and I never touched it because I wasn't allowed to. I was told, you don't touch this unless I'm around. And if you do, there was no threat leveled. I was just told I wasn't allowed to do it. I suspect that something horrifying would have happened had I messed with Dad's gun. And I got a BB gun when I was 10 years old, and I was allowed to use that as long as I used it responsibly. I may have broken a window at one point, but I think it would have was off a ricochet. Nonetheless, that was pretty much the worst thing that happened as far as my BB gun went. But you hear that guns are these terrible killers of children, and I'm sure that they're not lying about that.
The government says you can't whip your youngin' and stuff like that. Well, that's a bunch of baloney.
Well, I don't personally support whipping anybody, but it's your family. You should be able to do whatever it is that you want to. I don't necessarily agree with that. I don't think violence solves problems, because I think in that case, you're essentially teaching the child that violence is the solution to bad behavior, and I think that's ultimately what the government does, right? Like, the government threatens people with violence.
I in the Marine Corps, it helped me. I mean, I didn't like getting whipped and stuff like that. But, I deserved it. I'd done wrong. The old man say, don't you do this, and then you're going to get a whipping if you do.
You know, my parents managed to punish me without whipping me, even when I did things that were wrong. And
I think, I think that, first off, I think that the vast majority of people who have kids are completely unqualified to have them. Secondly, what I think is that, if you're unqualified to have kids.
Everybody just said yeah, right?
You did,
right? Because
they all
believe they're
qualified. Right. So that if you're unqualified to have them, you're unqualified to decide what kind of punishment they need. But I will say that having had a child that we did not use corporal punishment on, he didn't need it.
President Eisenhower left office. His departing speech had a warning. Beware the military-government complex.
Military-industrial complex, yep.
Military-industrial complex, right. Which is really a military-government complex. When Jesus Christ, he didn't leave office, but when he left Earth, he sent back a last warning message. And the Bible calls that the Book of Revelation. He sent it to his last surviving apostle. And his great warning in that book was a warning against the mega church government complex, which we are seeing every day on Christian talk radio stations across America, launch ad hominem attacks against Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller. Now, most preachers would be outraged at this kind of ad hominem attack against a government leader. But some mysterious witchcraft or spell has been cast on the evangelical population of America. They're all for this kind of ad hominem attack.
I'm all for freedom of speech, and I don't care what job you have.
Just because you're tax exempt doesn't mean that you're exempt from freedom of speech, that you don't have the
churches are closing all across America. Tax exempt status isn't making a difference. For whatever reason, right now Americans seem to want mega churches. I don't support it.
Do they?
That's what's growing.
Okay.
I don't know.
Huh.
I don't propose to know. There's no mega churches near me. My Quaker meeting has about 5 or 6 regular attenders. So what the heck do I know about mega churches?
Nothing.
Nothing. Except
there was that one guy, Ted Haggard. Remember when he made headlines for getting caught with a gay prostitute and snorting crank with the prostitute as well?
Yeah, that's. I mean, all I know is what I read in the news story. I still don't know. What can
it's
I tell
interesting
you?
Allegations.
It's
I mean,
an,
who knows
it's an allegation. All I can tell you is that you know, as far as it goes, everything's fine at my Quaker meeting. And if everybody at a Quaker meeting is a minister, and everybody's an attender, if that's what they wish to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if they wanted to, if somebody wants to tell me what I can say at my meeting or attempt to take away our tax-exempt status because somebody at my meeting decides to make some political comment, poor or against Trump or whomever, well, you're going to – I mean, it's just stupid. It's
just your tax-exempt status cannot be taken away as a church.
That's what people – that's what this all comes down to.
Yeah.
Like, the only way you can silence ministers – is to propose to take away tax-exempt status.
David Hogg is nothing but a push by the liberal media, you know, to give him all this airtime, you know, disgracing guns. You know, it just bothers me how much the media pushes this down people's throats through Facebook, TV, radio, not all radio. I think radio is still the best. And really it's just been, you know, completely being false and lying and manipulating people, you know, about guns. And, you know, especially with David Hogg and this big push they've had for this last month since the Parkland shooting, you know, it brings a lot of fear to me about our gun rights and, you know, protecting ourselves and, you know, good Americans that do nothing but have a gun to either hunt or to protect their families.
Right. I mean, there's, as you pointed out, Mark, earlier in the show, there's, what, 300 million estimated guns or something like that in the United States?
600 million.
600 million. I mean,
I've seen estimates as high as 600 million.
And that wouldn't include all the ghost guns that might be being manufactured out there.
I think they're
as
attempting
well.
to include some of that stuff.
Well, I mean, it's a shot in the dark at best in that
there's
case.
At least one or two guns
but
per American.
There's a lot of guns out there, and, you know, there's very little that's ever going to really change about that. So I'm not so worried that all the guns are going to disappear, but yeah, I mean, there are concerns that the government may try to take them from some people at some point, and that's a legitimate
concern.
I've
spent a lot of time in Baltimore in the last 3 years, and, you know, just like New York, you can't have a gun.
The statistical, you know, near certainty that you will not be in a mass shooting, statistically nearly certain that you will not be a victim of terrorism. Obviously people are, but it's a big country. Sure, if you live in, you know, Barbados, the chances of a school shooting are pretty slim because it's a much smaller country. But mm-hmm. The United States has 300 million people in it and somewhere between 1 or 2 guns per person. Yeah, you're going to see mass shootings.
So I think that, you know, there are some things that you can do that are within your control to change, right? Because begging politicians, that's not within your control. It's within your control whether or not you beg them, but you don't get to control what they do. Voting for politicians obviously hasn't changed anything, right? For all the talk of, we're going to vote those bums out. Well, the bums have not been voted out.
No.
The American people continue to vote the same bums back again and again and again. And even if they vote a new one in, he's a bum too, or she's a bum too. So it hasn't changed. The system attracts those who are corrupted. It attracts those who are, you know, looking to be corrupted. It's a problem. And so what do you do? What do you have control over? Well, you've got control over your actions. And if it comes down to getting out from underneath the thumb of the government, then getting out from their monetary system is one way to do it.
I just wanted to, touch on Mike's call, the last caller. I totally agree. I'm hearing what you guys are saying, man. And the federal government got their dirty, rotten, stinking hands in everything, man. And it's almost like what we were originally meant to be, we gotten so far from. People are blind as to what we're even, supposed to be set up as far as the government, man. Mm-hmm. And it's ridiculous. And I totally agree. The only thing that I fear as well as Mike is that somebody will try and invade our country and take over. And I also thought further in that case, what we could do as states is we could just come together as a states and band up and have some kind of money system set up, whereas everybody's donating some sort of money every year into some sort of military to protect us. It's possible, man. The federal government is just a waste of time and money, and they're a bunch of pricks.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with anything that you said there. As long as people are coming together on a consensual basis, whether it's to fund some military or it's a militia or it's a state National Guard or whatever, if it's funded consensually, then I don't have an objection with it. And I think that would result in better training. It would result in better quality of service. It would result in choice in the marketplace, which we've never had before. You get the protection the government decides to provide you. And let me tell you, they're not in it to protect you.
I'm a very dedicated Christian, and I have fought the state of Vermont on this issue of tax-exempt status for pious institutions. Mm-hmm. For our campground, both at the state level and the town level. Now, however, as this whole 501c3, it kind of relates to the sanctuary cities or these sanctuary so-called churches. Now, the Bible is very clear that we are supposed to obey the laws of the land. And it's stated in Romans clearly. It's stated
obey the laws of the land?
Peter. Yes, we're supposed to be in subjection to the laws of the land.
I know it is in Romans. I'm not familiar with the first, second Peter. What are we talking about here?
Okay, Book of Romans, chapter 13.
No, I'm very familiar with Romans. I'm asking about the Peter
one. And in Second Peter, in 1 Peter 2:13-17. Okay, that also talks about that. So, basically,
because here's what I wonder when it comes down to obeying the government. I mean, who are we talking about in the government? Do I have to obey the government janitors? Were the churches in Germany subjected? Should they have been out gassing Jews because the government wanted them to? You see, this is the thing: is that any God-fearing person that listens to a man has just put Jesus aside, has just put God aside.
Didn't Jesus get murdered by a government?
Yeah, Jesus was killed by the government, and the Christians were an anti-government organization for the first 300 years.
We had a church-state line, and that line was breached with the Hammurabi decision. And already you're seeing results where there was a fellow in prison, served a short term. He got out and had his family, was doing good, and he went for hospitalization. And he was just denied hospitalization. And that's an immediate result of that. And that's kind of dangerous when it comes to that.
Who was denied hospitalization and where? I missed some of the details of what you were saying.
Well, what it is the fellow was in prison for a pornography charge or whatever. But he served his time, and he got out, and it was a couple years later. He had been going to work, but he had a family, and he got really sick. I don't know if it was him or his kid, but he went to a hospital, a Christian hospital. Well, I don't know if it was Catholic, but they're all, it's Methodist. And he was, because of his record, was denied health care. This was here in the United States just in the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Okay.
And another,
so they checked his criminal record at a hospital, and they found out can they do that?
That is bizarre.
You said that Louisiana is going to be passing some sort of limited medical marijuana, which will allow for the treatment of chronic pain. Has this actually been signed by the governor there, or is this just something that's sort of passed the House but not the Senate? How's it working?
I think it's passed the House and the Senate.
Okay.
And it's on its way to the governor's mansion now.
Has the governor made a statement about it in advance? Has the governor said how they are going to vote on it?
No. The governor hasn't said squat about
okay.
it.
Right.
The governor, all he talks about is the fact that we're not paying enough in taxes to treat the poor.
Yeah. So I'll say this.
Now we did another.
Yeah, it wasn't long ago here in New Hampshire where the state house voted 90%. It was like 89.5% voted in favor of legalization, just straight up legalization of cannabis, and the governor vetoed it. So even if you have, in a lot of cases, overwhelming support, 90% support in the House, that doesn't mean squat when it comes to the governor trying to please his buddies in the police department. So I think it sounds promising, but obviously you shouldn't get your hopes up too much.
What I think is probably worth pointing out is more than half the states in the union at this point have medical marijuana. The government's grip on cannabis is slipping away. I think it's very strange that it took a constitutional amendment to outlaw alcohol, but Congress just voted to outlaw marijuana.
Yeah.
They didn't even know that it was cannabis, and cannabis was something that was used by pharmacists all over at the time.
Yeah, precisely. But another victory that we achieved, and this was a defensive victory, was we managed to hold on to our Second Amendment rights. A bunch of various bills, negation of state preemption and various other things, such as bump stock bans and high capacity magazines and semi-automatic rifles made of salt, and had failed.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
They all got shot down by a citizens group that assisted the NRA, and it was a local citizens group started by a volunteer.
Thought I would talk about the Bible a bit, since that did come up earlier today.
Yeah, we had a Bible thumper in here saying, well, you got to obey the government because that's what the Bible says.
Yeah, and I've mentioned in the past that the Bible is not 100%. I mean, people want to believe that it's 100%, and especially people, kind of older people like in my age group, they believe that this Bible is 100% accurate. Now, which Bible depends on which one they happen to like. Is it American Standard
right.
or is it King James? You know, what if it's the, the Chinese Bible? They actually have a Chinese
How
Bible.
Many Christians have read more than one of them?
One version?
One version of the Bible.
I have.
Yeah, there's a lot of them that have. But the point I'm getting at is you'll have different translations and different ways of interpreting the original, what we call the original languages. Now, the original languages are not original either, because they were, as Mark pointed out, a couple hundred years after Christ before these things were actually written down. And so I know, as an old guy, that things that happened in my youth that I know happened a certain way have been recorded in history as a different way.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's not accurate. The news is not accurate that comes out the same day. So
right.
history books are not going to be accurate. They're not 100% accurate. I've been in and out of the churches, different churches, my whole life. And one of the things that really got to me and really started me thinking was this fact that they would focus on this one particular issue and they would say, well, this is just like this. And then I would go to another church and they would say, no, it's not that way.
It's this way.
Yeah. And so I started thinking about this and I'm going, wait a minute, you know, this just doesn't make sense that all these people claim to be 100% right and yet they're in disagreement. So obviously they're not 100% right. Somebody's got to be wrong. So
right.
I decided in the end that the only position that's correct is the position that our Creator wants us to have. Now the problem is, what is that position? Because we can't communicate 100% with the Creator. Like I mentioned on the Discord a little while ago, he speaks Creator. He doesn't speak English. He doesn't speak French. He doesn't speak Chinese. He speaks Creator. So I don't know how to speak Creator. And if he did speak to me in Creator, I wouldn't understand it. So whatever his language is, it's so high above ours, and it explains everything 100%, of course. You know, that language would have to be 100% perfect, but we don't understand it, So there's no way we can understand 100%. We have to just admit that we don't know it all.
We could just do the best we can.
That's what we're here for, yeah. I think, is to learn those things.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.